Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Heart for Iran's Impact 32 podcast, here to share how our ministry and partners are bringing the Great Commission to Iran and beyond. Coming up, we have Myra Yazdari, producer for Mohabbat TV, along with Mike Ansari, president of Heart for Iran, where they will be discussing education and empowerment in Iran.
Welcome to Heart for Iran's Impact 32 podcast. My name is Mike Ansari. I'm the president and CEO of Heart for Iran. We are a ministry of a partnership of over 100 different ministries that come together to spread the gospel to Iran and beyond and see the Great Commission take place. Folks, we've been doing our podcast for quite some time. We invite you to listen to our previous episodes and share it with your friends, with your church. Today we are talking about women, life, freedom, education, and empowerment. And for that, I am joined with my colleague, Myra Yazdari. Myra, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
For those of you who do not know Myra, Myra is a journalist and a producer, and also she's a social activist. You could follow her on Twitter at Myra Yazdari. Myra, we wanted to go ahead and start talking about the brave women of Iran, right?
Yes.
And we want to tell our audience why Iranian women in particular are really, really brave with their act of demonstration and defiance within the last few months across Iran. It is a story that was told initially by a lot of syndicated news agencies, but a lot of these news agencies have gone quiet. So you rarely hear what is happening inside Iran. So we want to go ahead and take this podcast and kind of give our audience an update of what is happening now, you know, in the first, almost the second quarter of 2023. But because the focus today is on education, you yourself, you're an educated journalist, you come from an educated background, what you represent is a typical Iranian woman. Can you tell us, can you tell our audience, do Iranian women have the same rights as men when it comes to education? Are they provided and afforded the same right and the same capabilities and resources as men in Iran?
Yes and no. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I would like to say hi to your audiences and thank you for watching us. So to understand this, we need to know a little bit of history, that what happened before the 1979 disastrous revolution happened.
Right.
So maybe I'm sure you know, but maybe your audience doesn't know that Iranian women were given the right to vote before some European countries like Switzerland, and it was given to them. They didn't fight for it. The Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Shah, he gave women, you know, the level that they deserved.
Right.
They were respected.
Which was outside of the scope of religion, because what he gave them, he said, religion is one thing, but you have your own right and your own place in society. That's what you're saying.
Yes. They were recognized as human,
right.
And they had their basic rights, and they had the rights that some European women didn't, which is huge. And many Western audience doesn't know that. They know Iran by what they see in media. So it's a lot happening behind the cameras, that because of not being independent media in Iran,
right,
or independent journalists or international media, they don't know what is happening until now, because of social media, because of, you know, these citizen journalists sending out their own footage, very authentic, you know, short, a glimpse of what is happening, what are Iranian women doing. But if you want me to talk more about the education, so before the revolution happened, there were like very high level education, and it was in progress, and it was going to the direction to be modern and progressive.
Right.
And a catastrophe happened when the Ayatollahs took over the country.
Let me interrupt real fast. When you're talking about progressive and modernization of Iran, you're talking about the fact that Iranian women prior to revolution of 1979, they had leadership roles in society, in economy, in politics. There were seats that were occupied in Iranian parliament by women. mm-hmm. and they did not have to have a cover on their head. So they were very much, very free, just like we are here in the West today. That's what you're saying. And you're saying also that they had full access to unrestricted education?
Mm-hmm. They did. They did. And there were resources available for them if they they wanted to go and study abroad.
So tell us now, in contrast to pre-revolution, where are the Iranian women in terms of education now?
It's interesting that to know that it is 60%. This is the stats from the regime right. officials itself, and this stats is from last year. 60% are women occupying the universities,
wow.
which might be quite surprising.
Yeah, more than men.
More than men.
So more women are graduating from universities.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That shows, you know, human desire to learn, to grow, to have freedom, to know more. But on the other side, there are hardliners, mm-hmm. some imams, mullahs, that they don't like it. Like I have one of them was saying, it is not necessary for all girls to enter university because this issue also causes expectation in the field of employment. So they say these female students graduating, coming out of universities, they occupy men's role and they become more powerful than men, and they don't like this.
They don't like it because what you're saying is, under Islamic definition of a hierarchy in a society, mm-hmm. men has a higher place than women. Mm-hmm. We know that that is Islamic teaching. Mm-hmm. And we know that that is something that you are sharing with our audience, that the Iranian government is trying to bring men in, women in the shadow of men.
Mm-hmm.
But Iranian women,
they find their way.
They find their way. They're brave. We saw Iranian women during the most difficult time back in September, October, and November of last year, going on the streets and cutting their hair. That's an expression of defiance. They're saying, look, if I'm willing to go and lose what defines me as a woman in my society, I'm willing to let go of this so that I could gain freedom. So these women are not going to be allowing the institution mm-hmm. to undermine them. Tell us more about that. What is happening among women? What are your peers in Iran saying about the current situation and education?
So first of all, they say it is not only about wearing or not wearing a scarf. It's beyond that. It's
right.
because this wearing scarf, wearing your hair or your body, it's this regime's symbol, this regime's essence to control your mind, to control your
body. But hold
body.
On, the argument could be that it's not just Iranian definition. Across the Muslim world, you see good Muslim women are supposed to cover themselves. So
yeah, so, you know, because the regime's law and the regime's foundation is founded on Islam, is founded on Sharia law, mm-hmm. which whatever decision is made in the country is coming from that, it is rooted in that. So when they take this scarf off, they are saying, we don't want you. We don't want what this regime is founded on. So it's symbolic. It's not just the hijab. It's not just not wearing, you know. It's not that today, okay, and the regime decides to, because of surviving itself from collapsing,
right.
okay, we give this right to women, whoever want to wear hijab or not. They say, no, this is not the only thing we want. We want freedom. We want our basic human rights.
Wow. So let me summarize this and correct me if I don't do it right. Because the Iranian women are educated, they are no longer asking for reformation. They're saying mm-hmm. that we don't want a reformed version of Islam. We want to be done with religion altogether, with Islam altogether. We want to have a new definition of who we are for ourselves and what we are capable of in our society. That's a huge statement.
Absolutely.
And that's not going to be a statement that's going to go that easy with the Ayatollahs and the ruling party. So what would that mean? I mean, we realize that right now there are a lot of Iranian women that are still in prison. What's going to happen? Are they going to continue crushing women?
It's really hard to predict what the regime is going to do because they always come up with a new way of oppression.
Right.
Now, as a lot of people know, you know, they are poisoning school girls.
Right.
And it has happened in some metro stations, subway stations, in some cities. It hasn't been limited only to schools. And at the same time, women are going out still, young women, old women, everyone, are going out with the support of their fathers, their husband, their brothers.
Wow.
Men are being with them, being supportive, being protective of them, while they take their hijab or they're covering off, and they're not stepping back.
I want to go back to, since we're talking about education, mm-hmm. I want to go back to the school poisoning that you just talked about. You just briefly shared with our audience that for the last few months, there have been over 1,200 Iranian school girls. Mm-hmm. We're talking about high schoolers, middle schoolers, that have been poisoned at school while they're at school. Mm-hmm. And they're first of all, it's not really being covered by the Western media. Mm-hmm. Not that many people of our audience are listening or hearing this, but it is happening in Iran, right? What do you think is causing this? Because when you take a look at the news and read the news on different agencies, news agencies, some are saying that the ruling party, the government of Iran, is saying, well, this is really not happening. It's in people's imagination. Mm-hmm. Then there's another group of people that are saying, well, it's happening, but we don't know what's causing it. But there is not enough intervention by the government to really find the source and stop it. And then yet there is another group of experts from outside that are saying, look, this was designed by the Iranian government to undermine women and their education, which is exactly what we're talking about today. Can you give us your understanding of what is going on with the poisoning of these schoolgirls?
Here's the thing. Nothing in Iran happens that the regime doesn't have control on. And this chemical supply, whatever it is that they don't say, what the symptoms have been in the students, experts say this is not a chemical supply that some individual can go and find without having backed by government.
Right.
So it can't be something outside the government doing this, and they don't, they're not aware of it. They say that they have this face recognition system cameras that they bring in from China, that they're gonna use those to arrest women that not wearing hijab. And my question is, why don't you put those cameras at the schools? If you have that system.
To identify
to identify who is attacking schools.
Wow.
But,
yeah.
So, you know, it is, it's a double standard, and everyone knows, and they know that everyone knows, but they have the gun, they have the power, they have the suppression system.
Myra, a few days ago, I was reading an article, and they were talking about, you know, they were drawing comparison. A few years back for our audience, there were incidents where in Afghanistan where schoolgirls were being poisoned. That was to deter them from going to school because under the Taliban rule, it would be un-Islamic for girls to pursue education. So the design of the Afghanistan's Taliban government was to keep women at home so they could just be away from, as you said, management and education. This article was drawing a parallel saying that maybe the hardliners in Iran are trying to pull Iranian women back from education and seats of management, entrepreneurial impact, social and financial impact in country, so that they would be more compliant to the Islamic definition of what a woman is supposed to be. Another drawing that they had, the comparison that they drew was, it's a way for the Ayatollahs to basically get back at these schoolgirls who were front and center during the uprising. So they're saying, you know what, you went on the street protesting against our rule, now this is payback time.
That's exactly what the Supreme Leader said.
What did he say?
During the uprising in the very first month, he said these students, these school kids, has to face punishment. Wow. And this is the punishment.
This is the punishment.
This is the punishment. And no matter it's elementary school, it's high school, they have no mercy.
All right, so that's a really sad situation because we do need to stand next to women, Iranian women. This actually allows me to share with our audience a resource that we have put together. It's called Woman Life Freedom. It's a prayer book. This prayer book is available, and we have put it together. And we want to ask you guys to please reach out to us. We have a free copy for you. You could just reach out to go to heartforiran.com/woman. That's again heartforiran.com/woman. We have put together this prayer book on how to really pray for Iranian women. But how does the woman, what can the West, first of all, let me ask you this question. How can the West empower the women in Iran in regards to education? How can our audience, people who are watching, listening to this program, the churches, the leaders, how can they, empower the Iranian woman?
Well, I would say it doesn't have many solutions. It has only one solution, and it's just to get rid of this regime, because nothing will get better under ruling the Ayatollah. So it's just to empower them to fight for freedom, and by the pressure of public opinion,
right,
put it on the government, whatever country you live in, to speak up and care about what is happening in Iran, because it's not going to only impact Iranians but also the whole world. They always say a world without Islamic Republic is a better world for everyone. There will be peace. So it's just to empower citizens that are fighting peacefully,
right,
for their freedom.
And you're also recommending our listeners to meet with their political representatives, mm-hmm, either the senators, congressmen, mm-hmm, congresswomen, and ask them to take a stance.
Yes.
For freedom, rather, and religious freedom and women's rights. Is that what you're asking?
For
and more,
freedom.
You're asking for more.
Yes, because it has been throughout the four decades, different ways to reform this regime
has failed. Right.
It never succeeded. So, and some knew from the first day, this regime can't be reformed because its essence,
right,
is evil. How can you change evil?
And can we also agree, when you educate an individual, be it man or a woman, a child, you are giving them not only knowledge, but you're giving them a way to understand the ways of the world and who they are in the scope of the larger world and, mm-hmm, and society and community. Mm-hmm. You're giving them identity and giving them education. So what you're saying here is we need to stand for education of men and women, and be a cheer that on. I have another question for you. How does the Woman Life Freedom Movement resonate with Iranian Christian women? So this is a different question. You know, folks, that the entire world for a few months stood next to Iranian women, either joining them in cutting their hair or taking their cause on camera, on social media, and talking about it. But it is not being spoken much about lately. We talked about that earlier in this podcast. What do we need to do as Iranian Christian people, as an Iranian Christian woman? What do you want to see happen for us to be able to resonate with these? What is the role of Iranian Christian women when it comes to woman life freedom?
I think Christians have the closest tie with human values, freedom, liberty. We say that humans are created with the right for liberty, you know. So with standing for those values as Christians, it's itself a way of fighting. Oh. It's just standing for those values, not doing anything else, is itself fighting, a peaceful fighting. So,
Myra, are you hopeful for the future of Iran?
I am. I am. Without hope, we would die, I guess.
Amen. That's powerful. Yes. That's powerful. Well, yeah. Folks, our time is coming to an end. And Myra, I want to thank you wholeheartedly for standing in the gap. And I want to assure you that as Iranian Christian community, Iranian Christian men, we are standing next to women, not that men are any better than women, but that we are equal. And the topic today is education and empowerment. We pray that Iranian women and schoolgirls would be able to one day pursue the highest level of education under freedom, a banner of freedom, freedom to choose, freedom to practice, freedom to live, woman life freedom, amen?
Amen.
We pray that that would happen. But folks, I want to encourage you to follow us on our podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends, with your family, with your colleagues, with your churches. We are here to empower and encourage you, the Western audience, and let you guys know what God is doing in closed regions like Iran. God is moving. He's building His church. The Spirit of God is moving, and we are here celebrating, and we're hoping this podcast will bless you. I want to thank you again for joining us one more time. Last time, I want to ask you to go ahead and go visit us at heartforiran.com/woman to receive a free copy of this brochure that we have put together called Woman Life Freedom Prayer Book, How to Pray for Iranian Women, Millennials and Gen Zs. Myra, it's been a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.